recording?
Yes, we are.
Are we waiting for Alan just because we need another audience member? Just in case we got to ask the audience. Anyway, let's get started. So, welcome to Generations Church Podcast, where we are just going to be going through some of the stuff that we've been learning in the church. It is also probably in the top two or three greatest podcasts ever made in the entirety of podcasts ever. And so we're basically going to talk about what we talked about on Sunday. We're going to look at some of the things that we've been looking at in church, and we're going to try to go with the progression of everything. But I think also the reason why this is important is because, you know, when we're sitting and watching a sermon, it's not like we can ask questions or even sort of ad lib some of the stuff. Like, it's like, you know, I try to, for time's sake and stuff like that, there's things that we try to just make sure we go through everything and we get to the conclusion. But then when we hear it afterwards or we think about it afterwards, you're like, oh, you know what? Maybe that wasn't clear. Maybe I should have said that. Or people even just come up and say, hey, I want to find out. So anyway, those who don't know me, my name is Danny. And I've been around for a while. And this is Giovanni, who speaks English.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I picked that up.
That's cool. So what are your thoughts initially from Sunday's sermon?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think one of the issues that we do have is because of the time restraints that we have, we're trying to put out what we believe anyways God has put in our heart within 30 minutes, 35 minutes, 40 minutes. And I think there definitely is a lot of unspoken, unsaid truths that maybe while we were prepping, we had like this mountain load of information that we had to just reduce to just enough information so that we can give and believe that that's what God has put in our hearts to give to the people. So yeah, I think this is going to be super important, super informative for people who just want a little bit more information of what was said. What did you mean, Pastor Danny, by that time for tithes and offerings?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, so the funny thing about this Sunday, about what we're recording on Monday, so this is yesterday, right? Was that this Sunday was one of those Sundays where getting ready to preach was one of the biggest struggles for me. Yeah, and not like it's like some personal struggle, like I was like, not this time, right? Maybe some other times, right? But this time it wasn't about a personal struggle. It was more like I was struggling with how to relay the information, especially because when I had originally prepared to preach this, it's funny, like I grew up reading the Bible in Spanish because I was in Spanish church, and I started preaching in Spanish before I started preaching English. But now, because I was born and raised in Canada, now that I'm preaching in English, it's starting to take a more natural tone. And so when I was thinking about the message for this Sunday and reading the passage of scripture, I read it in English. And in my mind, I was thinking of what to say in English. But then when it was a bilingual service and it was going to be translated to Spanish, right? Because if I didn't have to preach it in Spanish, it was Leo preaching in Spanish, I wouldn't care. That's his problem. But because I was looking at it, the translation was so different, right? When we read, what's it called? When we would read 2 Timothy chapter 1, and especially verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." And in Spanish, it says the exact same thing, except for it says of power, of love, and self-control. And so when I saw that, I was like, how that's pretty, in my mind originally, it was really different, right? And so it was a bit of a struggle to me, which was surprising, because then I had a bunch of people come up after and they were like, oh my God, it, you know, God was speaking to me or whatever. So I was a little shocked by that truth. But I guess, was it clear, the connection between sound mind and self-control?
Yeah, I think you did I think you brought it together. The fact that even though in its original meaning, but then also, I guess, in its translation, you know, one led to the other. I think that's what you were alluding to yesterday, saying, yeah, that translation, self-control, that'll be the product because of a healthy mind or a sound mind.
Exactly. And that's really what, in the Greek, I guess, it's trying to say. It's trying to say, like balance. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of having a sound mind, but then that sound mind sort of goes to self-control. Because, like, if you can't control your thoughts, then how do you control your actions, right? Because it all starts in your thought life. Yeah. Right? When you're not controlling the way you think, then obviously you have zero control of the way you act, because your thoughts are controlling your acts. So first you control your thoughts, then your actions come under control.
Right.
That's good. And so in your mind, why is it so important to have a sound mind?
I think you just answered it.
Okay, so then the opposite. What does it look like for a believer in Jesus, for a spirit-filled, dancing in the aisles, you know, like all-out Christian who doesn't have a sound mind? What does their life look like, do you think, during the week?
I think that's when you have those, you know, that duality, the, you know, two personalities almost, right? Where you know, on Sundays, you get one version of that person, and then Monday through Friday or Saturday even, you get this other version of a person that some people that maybe don't know them as churchgoers or as followers of Christ, one day perhaps they run into them, let's say, in a church environment or a spiritual environment. They say, "What? Oh, you were Christian?" They would, I would never believe that. I never knew. Because probably your actions just don't match with what you are now proclaiming you are. And I think that's probably why it's important that we start off with a sound mind, a balanced mind, self-control. Because if we don't have that, our conduct or our behavior any other day other than Sunday is going to be total or outside these four walls, which I think you alluded to yesterday as well. This is a controlled environment. This is where we all behave within these, you know, that biblical context, you know. So and the service that you described, we'd be raising our hands and we'd be doing all that. But as soon as we get out of this controlled environment, we're just a completely different kind of people that we don't even can't control our tongue, what we say, what we speak, and all these kind of things. And I think it's that's why it's important to have a sound mind, a balanced mind. Because ultimately, as you, I think, alluded to yesterday as well, we need to renew our minds. And that obviously is through the biblical principle, the commandments of God, his statutes, his regulations. That's what we follow. That's our I guess, where we take our guidance from on our how we are to live our life while here on earth as followers of Christ. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so going back to that, the idea of this series called In Vivo, the idea behind, you know, it's not about living a Christian life in a controlled environment. It's living it in real life and taking what, you know, is supposed to be inside of, let's say, the four walls of church or the religious meetings, and then taking them and it always being like that, right? Because it's never going to be different. So it's funny, because while you were saying that about the controlled environment in church, is that I feel like even for people who grew up in church, I think it, especially in a more, let's say, traditional type of aspect of church, like, let's say, our friend Chris here, right? I think that one of the issues that we have is that we are actually trained to be different in church than outside of church. Right? Like if you think about it, from the way you dress, right? Because you have your church clothes, right? Think about how we train a kid, where you have your regular clothes and then you have your church clothes and then you have your church attitude. And then, you know, if a kid's running around and being disrespectful, you're like, not, oh, that's disrespectful. You shouldn't be doing that. It's, oh, you're in church.
Yeah.
Right? And so think about it. What you're telling a kid is, this is a church attitude. This is your church clothes. This is your church conduct. This is the church life. And then outside, that's different.
Yeah, that's your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, if you grow up in that kind of environment, then that could really get to you. Right? So the question is, how do we live out a sound mind outside of the controlled environment?
It's a good question. You know, it's funny. I remember, well, years ago, I went to a leadership retreat, I guess. It was a three-month retreat thing where it was just meant for leaders, pastors, and so forth, just to, you know, we would get some teachings and a whole practice of life. Anyways, we would have to wake up early in the morning. We would have our prayer time. Then we'd have our small service. But then after that, we all had chores that we had to do. Some had to, you know, mop the floors. Others had to cook for the rest of the group, you know. So it was all a men's retreat. And that's what we did. We did that for 3 months. Everybody had some chores. So you know what? The funny thing is, you know, the first couple of weeks, it's like, you know, you're having, you know, you're convulsing, man, you know, because it's like, this is a, man, wake up early. And then, you know, you start to discipline, you start to hone down, narrow down on certain things, even physically, like as mundane as washing dishes may be first thing in the morning after everybody's had breakfast or lunch or whatever. So, but we had this regimented structure schedule that we had. And I'll never forget, near the end of that three months that we were there, one of the things that was said to us, okay, you know, this was easy. You know, I mean, you know, other people might beg to differ, like 3 months locked up and whatever. It was like a camping thing, like a camp situation. You know, this is easy, but when you get out there, when you no longer have, you know, you have this scheduled morning worship time, noon worship time, evening worship time, you know, the communion where you're constantly sharing, you know, whatever you were learning throughout the day. Imagine that. You're really immersed in Bible and communion with other fellow believers for 3 months. As soon as you get out of that controlled environment, that's when it really counts. That's when it really matters. What's the first thing that you're going to do? How are you going to, you know, address certain issues that come to your life? Are they going to be biblically based, or are they going to be what you learned? And, you know, as a human being, you know, we are self-preservationists. So we do whatever is good for us mentally, emotionally. We want to protect that. And so we react as humans. But then sometimes a lot of those reactions are not biblical, right? And so I think what we ultimately, to answer your question, I think one of the big things and the challenges that we have is, how do we align our outside behavior out of this controlled environment? How do we align that with God's word, with what he says, to be like Christ, to be a follower of him? You know, what does the Bible say about, you know, certain things that, what our reaction should be, or our action should be, or our words should be? And I think that's where I think ultimately is what we're trying to do, is align our life with God's word.
Yeah, actually, I really like what you said, because if you think about it, in that regimented environment, yes, it was a controlled environment, but the practices of the regiments, the practices of the disciplines, are still things that could be used in the outside, scheduling your time, doing things like that. Because like yesterday we talked about submission, and we talked about how we have a sound mind when we submit first to God, because we submit to anybody, right? Like we either submit to our fears, we submit to the world, we submit to whatever, or we submit to God, but we're always submitting to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If people say, oh no, I do my own thing, you're still submitting to the world, because you're doing what the world tells you to do, right? There's like the reality is, even if you're submitting to rebellion, like, oh, I'm not going to do what everybody else does, so I'm going to do the opposite of what they do, you're still submitting to them, because you're just trying to not be them.
Yeah.
But you're still submitting to their style. And so we submit to God, and we submit to the teachings, right? And we talked about submitting to the teaching of the word, and submitting to the church and to the church authority as part of that. But then I guess the practicality of how do you submit, I think it's necessary for us to actually schedule. That sounds weird, but schedule our submission. In that, okay, how am I going to submit to God? Well, I got to read the Bible more. So what do I got to do? Well, now I got to schedule it, right? And submitting to him means that I'm going to schedule it as my first thing to do in the day. And then, you know, how am I going to submit to the teaching? Well, then I'm going to schedule my time at church, right? And sometimes we forget about how important, you know, church attendance really is.
Yep.
Especially right nowadays, like, because everything's supposed to be all free, right? Oh, no, you know, it's just about me and God. And we sometimes, we reject the regimen. We reject the discipline because we look at it as like, oh, that's not natural. But that's not true. Like, I want to grow. I need to schedule my time to go to church. What does that mean? That means that I got to make, you know, if I'm going to submit to the teaching of the church, that means, yeah, it's a summer day and the X is open. Right. Actually, yeah. Today's the last day of the X. So if anybody, I don't know if Alan's going to head over to the X today, but the X is open. So, you know, let's take advantage because it's only open 3 days, 3 weeks out of the year. But yeah, it's a full 3 weeks. Doesn't mean you have to go on the Sunday.
Right.
Right. And so we forget that it is in the regiment that we submit. It is in creating a schedule. It is in saying, okay, like, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I got to do some of these things that look like work, but they're actually benefiting me. And so I got to put them in practice. Does that make sense, Alan?
Yeah.
So what else do you think would be a question of how we can live a sound mind? You send me a message?
Sure.
Me or him?
Him.
Oh. That's okay. And how are we doing on time? Are we okay?
We are at... Oh, wow. I have no way of telling. It's maybe been like 15, 20 minutes.
So that's a big difference between 15 and 20.
So we got...
Boy. Quite good of you.
So one of the questions is, what do I do if I'm struggling with evil thoughts?
Okay, that's a good one, because then if we're looking at... Yeah, you're right, because we're looking at having a sound mind. So what happens if I have evil thoughts?
That takes 18 minutes.
18 minutes? That's a good question. Wow, I like the honest truth is, who doesn't? Ultimately, I think, who doesn't? I don't care who you are in the church world, where you've been, how long you've been. There are thoughts. And I guess for lack of time or whatever, like what is the thought, or what is the within that context of evil thoughts? You know, like sinful thoughts, lustful thoughts, you know, like all that is included in there, right? So just the word evil itself, I think we all, I think at some point in our life, I think every day, if not, the Bible is just clear. It says we all sin, you know, all of us. The one who says he is without sin is a liar. That's what the Bible teaches us. So I think all we can do is, on this side of heaven, we won't be exempt of that until our bodies are transformed. We won't be exempt of that. But I think what we must try to do, and what is, I think, so I'm a firm believer of, you know, of God's grace, unmerited favor definitely reached us. But then there's also this where the Bible talks about that we are to walk worthy of him who called us. And so I think there is that walking that is Christ-like, that it resembles a lifestyle that loves God, you know, and what that implies. And so to me, it's like, if we're gonna combat these evil thoughts, well, what are we filling our minds with? If our minds are blank and we're constantly lazy, we're not, you know, like the scripture that you quoted yesterday, renewing our minds. Well, that's gonna be, a storehouse, a warehouse, a manufacturing plant of evil thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think actually, like, now that you said that, I think that keying in on the definition of evil is important, because if we were to be more succinct, I think that one thing that we could easily say is that our thoughts So, I mean, trying to, you know, and I think that the problem is that, that as Christians, we try to create too much gray areas. But if we were to, if we were to be more black and white, we would say we only have good thoughts and evil thoughts. Right? Because if you have a thought that seems harmless and is not evil, then it's good, because it might be just like, oh, I need to relax today. That's not a bad thought. Actually, you're supposed to rest, right? So that's not bad. Like, oh, I just want to, you know, oh, I would really love, you know, today to have, you know, whatever.
Be a pure and simple.
Huh? Be a pure and simple like my family. Because for me to be able to get my family to let me record the podcast today, they had to go to pure and simple for brunch or whatever, right? So be a pure and simple having that meal. Actually, I would prefer to go to like an Ecuadorian restaurant and have some Ecuadorian food. Yeah. But that thought isn't evil. So it's a good thought. But if it was like, all I want to do is eat and do nothing else, then, you know, that's gluttonous. And so that's evil, right? But thoughts are either good or they're evil. And I think that categorizing our thoughts is important, right? And like you said, they're always going to come in. We're going to be bombarded by thoughts that are evil. They're going to come into our mind. I think that step one is categorizing them to identify if it's an evil thought. I think that, you know, the cliche, think about what you're thinking about. You need to be able to identify what your thoughts are. And then I think that you also go with what the Bible says. It says to help hold captive all those thoughts, right? And put them under the lordship of Jesus. And so you take those thoughts, you categorize them, you recognize that they're evil. But then, yeah, you can't just cast them out. You have to replace them with something, with what you said, right? You can't just have an empty mind. People think that's a good thing for us. No, we don't need an empty mind. We need a mind filled with good thoughts. And good thoughts are thoughts based on the Bible. And so where do you get those good thoughts from? The Bible. You have to read the Bible, read your Psalms, read your Proverbs, whatever. Like, if you got to go over them, you got to recite them. You know, there's biblical literature that is poetic in nature that is good to just recite. You know what I mean? Aside from like taking and saying, okay, I'm gonna do a sermon series this year on the Book of Psalms, right? Like, maybe I could, but maybe I don't have to. Maybe the Psalms could be good for me as well. Again, I'm not saying it's not God's word. Like somebody say, oh, there's a heretic writing some comments. No, what I'm saying is, how about if we could really benefit from something like the Psalms by learning to recite them? So that we, when we have evil thoughts, we categorize them, we recognize them, we bring them under the lordship of Jesus, and then we fill our minds with the Psalms and so other songs and Christian music, right? That exalts Jesus, and starts singing in our minds. And those thoughts are just like going around. That's why, again, going back to what we've talked about in the past, Christian music needs to be more deep, because that way we recite the songs in our minds and we're actually teaching ourselves scripture. But if we say something, you know, that's just mundane and doesn't make sense, then we're not helping in any way.
Or that highlights are although true, but in a moment of struggle, I don't need to highlight my insufficiency, let's say, or my lack of, you know, really what I need to highlight is the fact that he who is with me can help me overcome. You know, because sometimes there's songs that just are more melancholic, yeah, and, you know, they're meant to just make you cry or something, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right. I think that unfortunately there's a lot of songs that are trying to just hit on an emotional level. And so they put us down, like, oh, I'm such a wretch, I'm the worst. There's a song in Spanish that Alan likes. Well, I don't know if he likes it, but it says that if it wasn't for you, I'd be like a bird that's dying on the street. it's like you're like, well, where do you get that kind of garbage? Like, honestly, like, seriously, like, why would you say that?
Yeah.
Right? And I guess you're trying to be poetic. But the reality is, no, like, we don't have to put ourselves down to exalt God. right? We can just exalt him. And when we exalt him, even in our minds, and our mindset is exalting him, that's filling our, that's like flooding our minds with the truth.
And that's not negating the reality that we may feel or what we're feeling. Let's say, you know, if we're struggling with sin, or we feel insufficient, or we feel like, you know, we've hit this, you know, this this area in our life where there's a huge gap, you know, between us that we can overcome. It doesn't negate that fact, but it also doesn't help that we amplify that thing. It's this is, I think, what we're talking about, is just that let's flood our minds with the goodness of God, with His Word, with what He said that He, you know, what He has accomplished, and so that in that us, so let me get my words out here properly. What He has accomplished allows us then through Him to accomplish as well. And I think those are the things that we need to come to that, to ingest and fill our minds and our hearts with. And I think that's one of the big factors. I think that is so important. It's not negating your reality. It's not turning a blind eye to the fact that you may be suffering, you may be hurting, you may be feeling what you're feeling, but it's accepting the reality of who Christ is in you, in us, and what He has done on the cross. And I think that's kind of what we got to fill our heads with.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that once you start filling your heads with fill our heads with the reality and the truth of the Word and what God has done, that will give us a sound mind, because we're submitting our thoughts to Him. We're submitting to Him, and it's His power. And we're not submitting to the fear of the world and what the world is telling us. And I think that, I think if I was to summarize everything, though, to take it back to like one thing that we need to pinpoint, is that I think that submission to God for a sound mind is a decision. And I think I said that on Sunday too. I don't know if I said it well, but I think that one of the things that I wanted to say was that, yes, we can say, okay, like, I put my faith in Jesus for salvation. One day I die, I go to heaven, we're good. We're good, right? Because He's my Savior. He's the one who's going to save me. But, you know, I'm on earth, so, you know, this is just going to be
terrible
all the way through until the end. And we forget that God teaches us in His Word that we have this power given to us through the Holy Spirit so that we can have a sound mind, right? We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to go back to that kind of slavery where we feel we're so engulfed in the fear and the darkness. We can be freed, but we have to decide for it, right? We have to say, okay, yes, You saved me for heaven when I die, but You also are giving me this life now, and I decide to take it. So I make a decision for myself to put myself under Your authority instead of the world's authority, and put myself under the authority of Your Word and Your teachings, and the teachings that You're giving me through my local church, right? And so, again, I mean, I'm not trying to like shake people up, but in a way I am, and saying, again, that comes down to things like joining the Connect groups, joining, or the small groups, if you're in another church and you go to small groups, go on a church, right? Going to a church service. Yeah, we are the church, but going to a church service, because that's when we get together. That's right. Our family meeting, right? If I want to be more, if I want to grow as part of my family and grow and all that stuff, and I have a healthy family, then, you know, they're going to get together for family dinner. I'm going to go, right? Because it's actually, and I'm going to be excited about it. So I think that's something that we need to do. I guess as we wrap up here, is there anything big that you want to ask, Al?
Gotcha. It's right here. So I doubt we'll get to these questions, but they could probably be for future reference. What can I do to teach my kids to have a sound mind? And the last question here is, I feel like I'm struggling with fear. I pray, I seek God, but I still struggle with this. What can I do to change?
Actually, those two questions, I think we could, yeah, you're right. We could do a whole thing on each one of them. But I think that if we were to summarize them, I think that to teach my kids to have a sound mind is to teach them, first of all, that you can have a sound mind and they can see it in you, right? Because if you're a balanced person, and you have a sound mind and you're responding properly to other things, they'll be like, okay, that's possible. And then teaching them how, like, okay, we got to take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. We need to categorize what we're thinking. We need to look at this stuff. We need to flood our minds with the word and the gospel. And maybe that means, hey, like, it's not that any music that isn't Christian we can't listen to, but hey, maybe you should think about what you're feeding your mind. Same way we look at what we're feeding our bodies. What are you feeding your mind? Especially today, like, I listen to the radio with my daughters and I'm like, yo, I'm gonna skip that song. Like, that's, and I think that the younger ones are still innocent enough that they have no clue what the song is talking about. But it's talking about drinking, drugs, sex. And I'm like, that's all they're talking about. And you know the nuances of what they're saying, right? And when you grow up the way I grew up, you know, in the environment that I grew up in, outside of church and in the area and stuff like that, you know what they're talking about. You know that they're using even code words for certain things. And you're like, oh, okay, no, like, we can't listen to that. Yeah. Right? And I think that's important. And teaching our kids things like that and say, hey, listen, there's things that you gotta, you're just like the way that you feed your body to be able to grow and to be able to be the best you can be, you feed your mind.
And I think even in that reference of, you know, trying to parallel the, I guess, Christian way of life and that balanced mind, even in the natural, like, I mean, you know, your financial decision making, your, you know, what you prioritize, what's important in life, you know, and if our kids see that as part of our practice of our daily living, obviously, then it coincides with what we talk about when we act or behave or want to be more like Christ. Because there's sometimes this disconnect. So we're like fully on, you know, you got to be like Christ. And they may see that. But then in our natural life, like, you know, it's not that it's two separate things, but sometimes, you know, for lack of a better way to present it, you know, in our daily decision making that we do, it doesn't even coincide with biblical principles or what I am professing.
Yeah.
That I have a balanced mind. But I, you know, you see me messed up in my priorities in life, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And then for the last question about somebody who's dealing with fear, I tell you the same thing. I said, first and foremost, remember, our lives as Christians, as followers of Jesus, Jesus never had followers one at a time. He didn't go to each one of his disciples and be like, okay, I'm going to disciple you for the next 6 months. Then I'm going to send you away. Then I'm going to disciple you for the next 6 months. And I'm going to send you away. He got all of them together. And then he had the multitude and he had the people that were following him. And he was teaching them all together because we were never designed to live this life by ourselves. And so if you're dealing with fear, and you've been struggling with fear, I'd ask you three questions. First question is, are you regularly going to your church? Right? Because I've heard people say, oh, I'm dealing with fear and I can't get out of it. And then you ask them, well, do you go to church? Well, no, like, sometimes I can't, you know, like, it's really nice outside. I go camping a lot, you know. So then you're like, no, like, priorities, right? Secondly, are you part of a small group? If your church offers a small group, are you a part of the small group? Again, if the answer is no, well, you know, it's a little, you know, it's, you know, I like when I get home from work, I want to stay home, or I don't want to be going out. I just like going to the mall. Okay, so again, priorities, right? So those two things. And the third thing is, have you spoken to somebody, right? Because if you're in community in your church, if you're in community in your small group, then there's got to be somebody available that you can talk to who can walk with you through the situation, because you're not supposed to do it alone. If you're part of our, like, if you're listening in your generations, we have, thankfully, we're blessed to have the staff that we have where you can go up to somebody and be like, okay, I got to talk to you about something, right? And if we're scary for you for whatever reason, you got somebody like Charmaine that you could go to, right? Like, you have people that are available that you could just talk to and just say, hey, this is my situation. And then they'll walk you through it. They'll walk with you. I'll pray for you. I'll be with you. I'll help you. Whatever that looks like. What, right? Do I have to pray more for you? Do I have to go through a process? Whatever. The diagnostic is easier when somebody is talking to you one-on-one.
Ugh.
So, guys, I guess that's it for today. We are officially done our first podcast for Generations Church and officially now in the top 2 or 3 podcasts ever made in the entire universe. So thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for the tech guys. A round of applause from your house to thank them for all of their help. All right, guys. God bless.